And now what we're going to do is to get into the Word of God. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to continue on Peter. You know, we started talking about Peter last week. You've got outlines on your table if you'd like to use one. In fact, I put very few scriptures on the PowerPoint tonight on the slide, so they're on your outline. May help you if you pull one of those out. But we did start talking about Peter last week. But we kind of specifically looked at just one point about Peter last week, and we looked at his name being Simon, but how that Jesus chose to give him the nickname of Peter. And we talked last week that the word Peter means rock. And we went in depth about the meaning and the idea behind Simon and Peter and the two names and how they were used very distinctly in the New Testament, how Jesus would use Simon at certain times and he would use Peter at other times, and very obvious what he was trying to communicate. I can't teach that lesson again, so if you missed it last week, you need to get that CD or go to our podcast and check that out. But tonight what we're going to do is we're going to go now and look closer at Peter and just get into his life a little bit and check him out. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background to start off about Peter. Number one, of course, he was a fisherman by trade. He and his brother Andrew, they ran the family fishing business, and it was centered at Capernaum. And that is where they would go out at night and they would net fish in the Sea of Galilee. And that was what they did for a living. We also know from the scriptures that Peter was married. He had a wife. We know that for sure. A couple of situations, but one in particular that you might be familiar with is that we're told that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So we know he was married. There's no mention in the scripture about his children or whether he had children. We don't know that. And so those are just kind of some beginning points. And as we shared last week, Simon Peter also was the natural leader of the 12 apostles. He just rose to the top. He was leadership material, and he just rose to the top and was the leader of the group. And we talked about that a little bit last time. Let me share a few other things about Peter. This isn't on your outline, but a few interesting facts. Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospels more than any other name except Jesus. No one speaks as often as Peter. And no one is spoken to by Jesus as often as Peter. No disciple is so frequently rebuked by the Lord as Peter was. No disciple ever rebuked Jesus except Peter. Interesting. No one else confessed Christ's lordship more boldly than Peter did. No other disciple verbally denied Christ so publicly as Peter did. A lot of contradictions going on here. No one is praised and blessed by the Lord more than Peter was. Jesus blessed him and praised him more often than any of the other disciples that is recorded in the Gospels. But Peter was also the only one that Christ ever called Satan. The Lord had the harshest things to say to Peter than he had to say to any of the other disciples. And those things are all recorded in the Gospels about Peter. So we have a lot of information about Peter in the Gospels. But we talked last week, and we want to go forward a little bit more about how that God took this very common man who was very unsure, very unstable, very impulsive, very unsubmissive. And he took that personality and he actually shaped that man into a rock-like leader. Amazing. All I got to say to all of us is there's hope for us. So how did Simon get changed into the rock? That's what we're going to look at tonight. And that's why we're talking about how a rock was made tonight. And we're going to look at three key elements that go into the making of a true leader. At the beginning, when we first got introduced to Peter, and even a lot through the Gospels, you know, he showed signs of leadership, but then he had those terrible weak points. And you're just thinking, oh my goodness, how is this ever going to work out that he is going to actually become the rock? Someone who is stable, someone who is solid, someone you can depend on. how in the world is he going to be transformed into that? Well, he really was transformed into that, as we'll see as we go forward. And to check this out, realizing he is a leader by nature, we want to look at the fact of three key elements that go into making a leader. Because these things were going on in Peter's life, and we want to look at those. Because as we look at these key elements of what makes a leader, it's going to show us how Peter was transformed and how a rock was made. So we're going to begin with these three key elements, and just to get you started, they are, number one, first key element in a leader is they have to have the right raw material. Number two, second key element for a leader, they have to have the right life experiences. And the number three thing, element that will make up a leader, is they have to have the right character qualities. And we're going to look tonight with Peter as our subject and go through these three elements of a leader and see how he was developed and how he was transformed into the rock. So the very first element we're going to look at is the very first one, and that is the right raw material. Did Peter have the right raw material? Well, you know, there's an old argument about whether leaders are born or whether they are made. Some people believe you're born that way, and other people believe, no, they're made. Well, Peter is a real strong argument for the idea that leaders are born with certain gifts, but those gifts have to be properly shaped and tweaked to form them into a great leader. He's a perfect example of this idea. So the right raw materials, what were they? We're going to look at three that he had. One was he was inquisitive. Now that's a great big word that just means he's curious. He is very curious. You know, when you're looking for a leader, you really do want someone who asks a lot of questions. You really do want someone who is looking for some answers. And to look for the answers, you've got to ask the questions. So that is important in a leader, that they're inquisitive. And in the gospel accounts, here's another fact about Peter. Peter asked more questions than all the other apostles combined. He was a question-asking fool. It was usually Peter who asked the Lord to explain the difficult things. It was Peter who asked how often he needed to forgive somebody. It was Peter who asked about the withered fig tree. It was Peter who wanted to always know more and to understand, and he was always asking questions. So he had that raw material going for him. He was curious. He wanted some answers. The second raw material of a leader that Peter demonstrated was initiative. If a person is wired for leadership, they are going to have some drive, they're going to have some ambition, and they're going to have some energy. They're going to be a go-getter. And that is what you need in a leader. You need a leader who is a starter. You need a leader who's going to make things happen. They initiate. All right? And you're going to find that not only did Peter ask the most questions, but guess what? He was usually the first one to answer any questions that Jesus asked. He jumped right in there. You know, when Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16:15, he said, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter quickly spoke up above all the rest, quicker than all the rest, and he answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The other disciples were still sitting back pondering the question. But not Peter. He was bold and he was decisive, marking him as a natural leader. And also giving you another idea of how he was an initiator. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when those Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus? Remember that? You know, scholars tell us that this great multitude who was armed with swords and staves probably numbered in the hundreds, possibly up to 600 soldiers, but definitely in the hundreds. And as these battle-ready troops came into the garden marching there without hesitation, Peter pulled out his single sword and began swinging. I mean, you think about that picture. Only someone with Peter's temperament would start swinging a single sword against hundreds of armed soldiers. He was an initiator. He was always in the middle of it. And that comes to our third raw material that he had, involvement. A leader will be known for involvement. True leaders will get in the middle of the action. They don't sit back and let other people do. They get in the middle of the action. And when Jesus came walking on the water towards his disciples, remember? It was Peter who stepped out of the boat without giving it a second thought. Now that is serious involvement. When Jesus was arrested and almost every single disciple fled the area, Peter couldn't completely abandon Jesus. Peter stayed close enough so that at one point it says in the Word that Jesus looked him in the eyes. What's going on here? Peter was had a passion to be personally involved in things. He didn't want to be left out. So he was always found close to the heart of the action. He was marked with that leader trait of involvement. And with all of Peter's weaknesses that we talked about last week and we'll continue to talk about this week, he really did have the raw materials to be a leader. They were there. They were part of him. They were part of his DNA. They were part of his temperament. And that definitely was part of him. But here's the deal. That raw material, if it's not brought under the Lord's control, could be very dangerous. As we saw in Peter's experiences sometimes. So it was going to take Jesus through that discipleship program he put Peter through to come and to train and to shape Peter into the rock. So the first thing, raw material, Peter had it. Second key element to a leader, let's see, the right life experiences. Well, you know, leaders really are often shaped by the experiences they have in their life, things they've experienced over the years, and they're shaped by that, you know, and experience can be a very hard teacher. Probably you guys know that. But the deal is that when you learn by experience, you usually don't ever forget those lessons, right? Yeah, they'll teach you good. It's an effective teacher. And all of the experiences that Peter had, all that he went through, helped shape him to become the man Jesus saw him to be and planned for him to be. And through that discipleship program that he went through almost 3 years of tests and difficulties, it provided Peter with a lifetime of leadership teaching. He learned some stuff. In that discipleship program, he had some experiences in that discipleship program. For example, he learned some great lessons from the experiences he had. He learned one thing. He learned that, you know, one moment you could have the greatest victory of your life, and before you know it, you could turn around and have the worst experience, the most humiliating and crushing experience. It can just go like that. It can. You know, give you an example of how Peter experienced that. Remember, Jesus had praised Peter for those words that he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In fact, Jesus praised him for that statement so much that Jesus blessed him and promised him the keys of the kingdom. That's an attaboy. That was a real praise from the Lord. And Peter was eating it up and loving it. That was a great victory. That was a great moment. And yet, when you read that, it's in Matthew 16. Just a few verses later, you're going to find a completely different situation going on. Jesus announced that he was going to go to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and he was going to be killed. He told his disciples this. Well, hearing that, the Word of God says in verse 22, still in Matthew 16, it says that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Rebuke the Lord Jesus, he did. Saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Without even realizing what he was doing, Peter was really trying to talk Jesus out of doing the very thing he had come here to do. The very thing God had sent him to accomplish. Peter was trying to talk him out of doing it. And as we know what happened, Jesus replied to Peter, it was stern and it was direct. He simply said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Praised a few verses above, humiliated and knocked down a few verses later. One moment, Peter spoke revelations from God, and he was given the keys to the kingdom. And then the next moment, not long after, he experienced pain, the pain of rebuke from his Lord Jesus. Another lesson that he learned through experience, he learned the hard way, that his own strength was not enough to keep him from falling. Has anybody here learned that lesson before? I think we all have. Peter learned it too. Because after declaring in front of everyone, not in private, but in front of everyone, that he would never deny Jesus Christ, he denied him anyway. He learned how carefully he must rely on the Lord's strength, not his own. That was something he learned from a life experience. All of these things and many more, as you read through the stories, through the gospel, all of these things Peter learned by experience, life experiences. And it seems that Peter made the most of these life experiences. As we read on through and as we read his letters later, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, we see that he really did learn from those life experiences. In fact, he turned around in his letters and taught them to others. This is what I have learned. This is what I'm teaching you. So as a leader, he had the right life experiences to take him forward to where he needed to go. And then the element of a leader that we'll probably spend the most time on tonight is the right character qualities. Did Peter have the right character qualities? Well, we can easily name his bad qualities, can't we? Isn't that the way we are? You know, we could probably easily list the bad qualities of someone else before we can list the good ones. We shouldn't do that, because we all have them. But you know, character, that's what we want to talk about. Peter became a leader. He became a rock-like leader. How did it happen? A very big important part of that was his character qualities and how the Lord developed those and how he learned. Because character is critical for leadership. Absolutely imperative for leadership. Peter had the raw materials to become a leader. He had the life experiences that would help hone him and sharpen his natural leadership skills. But the real key to everything with Peter and any other leader, the real key is character. That's really where it comes down to, because character produces respect. You respect people of character. And respect produces trust. When you respect someone, you trust them. And when you trust someone, you're willing to follow them. So without character, there's no following. Character is very important. And Peter's character was molded and shaped by watching Jesus' example and learning from it. He was taught by the greatest example of godly character that there is. All he had to do was watch and learn. And apparently he did. Sure, he messed up. And he failed sometimes, but we'll see as we go forward the lessons that he did learn. Now, I want to talk about some of the character traits that he learned from the Lord and how those were developed in him. The first trait, character trait, that I want to talk about that was developed in Peter was submission. You know, you might think, submission, what's that got to do with leaders? Aren't we supposed to submit to the leaders? Well, yes, but they have to model submission to us. And they have to model submission to someone, whether it's the Lord or the authority over them. So submission is a very important character trait in a leader. You know, leaders, that leader personality or temperament, it's usually very confident, it's usually very aggressive, and it's usually very dominant, and Peter was like that. We see it time after time how he brought out those traits. But what he needed was he needed some balance. And to give him balance, he had to learn submission to balance that out. Well, one of the probably the classic examples in the gospel of how Jesus taught Peter about submission was in Matthew 17. You may remember the story where the tax collector asked Peter about Jesus paying the temple tax. Does your master not pay the temple tax? And when Peter went and talked to Jesus, Jesus used this situation to teach about submission to earthly law and rules whenever possible. Right there, and many other times, Jesus was teaching Peter that submission was a necessary thing and that we need to be willing to be submissive. And Peter learned that lesson really well because years later he wrote in his letter, 1 Peter 2:13 and 18, this is on your outline. He wrote this. I think he learned. He wrote, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of the Lord, of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters." Peter, whose temperament was inclined to resist the idea of submission, apparently got the lesson down. Because as you see in 1 Peter, he taught other people that same lesson that he had learned through Jesus. Jesus taught him how to willingly submit and how to honor all people. So that character trait was being formed in him as he watched and learned from the Master. The next character trait that I want to look at that Peter had to develop and had to be developed in him was restraint. It's hard to use the word restraint and Peter in the same sentence. Because restraint basically means self-control, discipline, and moderation. And I'm telling you, those things did not come easily for Peter. Did not. Because that type of a person is very easily impatient with people, especially those who underperform, don't get busy and get the job done. And they can real quickly get irritated by other people. So because of that, this type of a person needs to really learn some restraint in order to be a good leader. Otherwise, they're going to be plowing through people all the time. They're going to be stepping on people everywhere they go. But instead, a good leader will find that balance and learn some restraint in those things. Well, once again, we'll use the illustration of Peter as he was wielding his sword at hundreds of armed soldiers. He certainly showed very little restraint that moment, didn't he? No restraint whatsoever. But later, speaking of that night, Peter wrote of Jesus. And this was in his letter in 1 Peter. He was talking about that very night. And he said about Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. This writing, among others that Peter wrote, demonstrates quite a change in Peter's attitude. He had learned quite a lesson, and he began to understand the character trait of restraint, so much so that he was able to teach it to others and to give them that understanding. So that was developed in him. We know it was, because there were so many times when he was unrestrained, but he learned it. He learned it, and he picked up that character trait as he saw Jesus model it. Another character trait that was developed in Peter was humility. Again, that's not really a word you use in connection with Peter. You just don't think of it. It just doesn't rise to the top when you describe him, you know? Humility. But you got to understand, leaders need humility. They need humility very much so, because, you know, when people are following your lead, or they're constantly praising you, or they're constantly looking up to you and admiring you, it is easy to become prideful, because we're human. You know, when Jesus explained to the disciples, as we talked about a few moments ago, he explained to the disciples that they would all be made to stumble. He told them all, you're all going to stumble. You're all going to fail. You're all going to fall. And Peter jumped right in, as Peter always would, and he blurted out, this is in Matthew 26:33, he said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And of course, Peter was wrong. Jesus was right. And it's those kind of humbling experiences that taught Peter the invaluable lesson of humility. Those life lessons you don't forget. Taught him about humility. Taught him and showed him, modeled it, demonstrated it. And again, Peter caught it and he developed it. It was developed in him, because Peter was able to write again in his first letter, 1 Peter 5:5-6, he talks about that we're to be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. Boy, did he learn that. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in fact, Peter, through his epistles, humility really became one of the virtues that characterized Peter's life. Humility. Would have never thought it from the man we started with, would you? It's amazing how those character traits were developed in him. It became his message. Not only that, it became his leadership style. He was a humble leader of his people and of the people he was given to lead. You know, the next character trait that had to be developed in Peter, if he was going to be a rock-like leader, was love. All the disciples really struggled with that idea that a true leader loves and serves the people they lead. They all had a little problem with that. They just kind of thought, if you were the leader, you were the leader, you know. And it wasn't your job to love and serve. It was their job to take care of you. And that was kind of their thinking and their philosophy of that. So they all struggled with that new concept. It was a rather odd approach as far as they were concerned. And Jesus told them in Mark 9:35, he said, if anyone desires to be first, then he shall be last of all and servant of all. This teaching was turning them on their head. It was totally upside down to what they were thinking. It was an amazing thing, but the Lord, of course, modeled it. He didn't just speak it in words. He also showed it in deed. And he taught them what this kind of love, this kind of loving servant leader, what they would do. And he showed it in particular. One place that you cannot deny it is in the upper room the night of his betrayal. And that was the night that Jesus took on the role of the lowest slave. And he washed the dirty feet of all of his disciples. He was discipling them. He was mentoring them. He was showing them what a real leader looks like, what a real leader does. And he did that. And later that evening, Jesus said to them, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. He couldn't stress that enough, could he, in those verses? Love one another. That's how they're going to know that you're my disciple. Well, did Peter learn that character of love? He did. In fact, love became one of the hallmarks of his teaching. As we read through 1 and 2 Peter, in 1 Peter 4:8, he said, above all things, have fervent love for one another. That's our Peter talking. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. That word fervent, it means stretched to the limit. Have you ever stretched your love to the limit? That's what Peter's telling us. He said, above all, stretch your love to the limit for one another. He's urging us to love to the max because he knows that love will cover all the failures and all the weaknesses. Love covers a multitude of sin. And he certainly experienced that himself and knew it was true. So it's obvious that he was developed in this character trait of a leader. The next one we want to look at is closely related and yet has a little different influence on it. And that is, as a true leader, he needed to be developed in compassion. You know, people with natural leadership abilities, they often are short on compassion. They make lousy comforters. They're just not good at it. They're impatient with other people quite often. And that's just their natural tendency. But, you know, as we read through the Gospels and all that Peter went through, his ups and downs and his training under the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter experienced a lot of very painful and difficult and often humiliating things, ordeals. And by going through those things, he learned firsthand how important and how needed compassion was, because there were many times he needed it himself. And the Lord gave it to him. Peter knew what it was like to deal with weakness. He was just like us. He knew exactly what it feels like to deal with our weaknesses. And he knew the results of giving into temptation, because he did, just like we do. He knew the results of giving into temptation. And because of those personal life experiences, Peter developed and learned to be compassionate with other people, tender-hearted and gracious, kind and comforting, because I'm sure he was very thankful that was given to him at times when he needed it. And he learned and developed that compassion. So through Jesus' discipleship program and the help of the Holy Spirit, Peter actually he matured in love and compassion, and he was established and he was settled and he was strong in it. And then one other thing we want to look at, a character of a good, strong leader, is courage. Now, we could say that Peter showed courage from time to time, but we're talking about something a little different here. We're not talking about just the headlong, false kind of courage that caused Peter to swing his sword at troops of soldiers without thinking. We're not talking about that kind of courage, but we're talking about a mature courage, a settled courage, a courage that would even be willing to suffer for Jesus' sake. That kind of courage. Because persecution and oppression, trouble, torture, and even death was the price for preaching the gospel that Peter was going to pay. Peter needed some rock-solid courage, not that flighty courage, not that impulsive courage. He needed some solid courage. And he needed that. And as we talked last week and touched on, you know, you can almost see the birth of that in Peter at the day of Pentecost. You can almost see it just, take room and just flourish out there on that day when he was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And then the first 12 chapters of Acts, we see a completely different Peter than we may have seen through the Gospels. He had finally realized, he had gone through this discipleship program. He had the raw materials. He had the life experiences. And now these qualities were being grown and developed up in him. And he knew that whatever earthly problems or trials or difficulties came his way, he was convinced that they were only temporary. He saw Jesus raised from the dead. He knew this life was temporary. And because of that, his courage was rock solid, completely transformed from who he began as we first were introduced to him. It's an amazing thing. You know, as Peter learned all of these lessons that we talked about tonight, being that natural leader that he is, but yet all those other elements had to be shaped and formed and brought together, trained. And Peter learned all of these lessons. And as he did, his character was transformed. It didn't happen like that, no more than it does for you. It doesn't happen like that. It's a process of going through the discipleship program, of doing the discipleship program, and allowing it to change us as we let it. And as we agree with it and stand on it and do it, as we read through the Gospels and as we read through Acts, we really can see how a rock was made. When we first met him, he was nothing like a rock. Last time we hear about him in Acts, there's no doubt about it, he had become the rock. He had learned submission. He had learned restraint. He had learned humility. He had learned love and compassion. And he learned courage, most of it from Jesus' example and from Jesus' teaching and modeling it. Jesus and the Holy Spirit shaped Peter for greatness, took him from Simon and shaped him and shaped him and shaped him until he really was Peter, the rock. And I think that's, you know, as we talk about this year, this being shaped for greatness, I see that in us so much. That's exactly what God desires for us. See, sometimes we just think we are what we are. There we go. God's got bigger plans for you than you can imagine. He has bigger plans for me than I can imagine. He wants to keep shaping us and growing us and changing us and transforming us until we keep looking more and more and more like him. That's what a disciple does. And that's who we are. We're disciples of Jesus Christ, just like Peter and the others were. Let me end this by telling you a little bit more about Peter. Peter the rock. He preached at Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved. You have the scripture references to these things on your outline. You can look at them later. He and John healed a lame man. He was so powerful that people were healed when his shadow passed over them. It wasn't his power. It was the power of the Lord. He raised Dorcas from the dead. He introduced the Gospels to the Gentiles. Peter should be our hero. Peter is the one who advocated and pushed and obeyed God so that the gospel could be given to us, the Gentiles, not just the Jews. He's the rock. And then, of course, he also wrote letters. He wrote 1 Peter and he wrote 2 Peter. And if you read those letters, you're going to find he taught all of those lessons that he had been learning, all that discipleship program he had been going through with Jesus. He turned around and in those letters, he taught those lessons back to the believers then, but also to us. They're right here for us. The same things Peter learned from Jesus, you can read about in 1 and 2 Peter, and you can learn the same things he did. It's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. Peter the rock. You know, we know that Jesus actually told Peter that he was going to die a martyr. Jesus told him that. And the scripture doesn't tell us or record his actual death. The records of the early church history indicate that Peter was crucified in Rome about 33 or 34 years after Jesus' resurrection. So he went forward as the rock for another 33, 34 years before he was crucified. There was a man named Clement who gave his testimony, his written testimony in early church writings, and he said this. He said that before Peter was crucified, he was forced to watch the crucifixion of his own wife. And in Clement's words, as she was led to her death, Peter called to her by name, saying, "Remember the Lord." And when it was Peter's turn to die, he pleaded to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to die as his Lord had died. And so he was nailed to a cross, head downward. Peter's life could be summed up in the final words of his second letter, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:18 simply says this: "Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That is what every disciple's motto should be: grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied with what you know today about your Lord. Don't be satisfied with your relationship with Jesus today. Keep growing in His grace. Keep growing in your knowledge of your Lord and your Master. Be diligent disciples of Jesus and continue to grow. That's what Peter is saying to us even today. Peter the rock. And that's exactly what Simon Peter did. It's obvious. He kept growing in grace. He kept growing in the knowledge of his Lord Jesus. And that's why he became the rock. That's why he became the great leader he was called to be of the early church. And it's so interesting to me as we're studying through these disciples, because as I said, I've never done this before. And it's really opening my eyes to some things, but what I think we'll keep taking away time and time again this year is that Peter was a mixed bag of strengths and weaknesses. He had his ups and he had his downs. He had his good days and his not so good days. Sometimes he did it right and sometimes he did not. He was a mixed bag of strengths and weaknesses. Does that sound like you? It sounds like me. Guys, these 12 disciples, they're no different than us, his current disciples. And I am so telling you, and God is so telling us, that yet he took Peter and he shaped him for greatness. And if he can do that with Peter, imagine what he can do with you. Amazing. It's an amazing thing. How a rock was made. Read the Gospels and Acts and you'll see it right there before your eyes. But let me tell you something else. You. Peter talked about us being living stones. We talked about that last week. I'll tell you how a rock is made. You come in on Wednesday nights and you sit and you hear the word and you take it into your heart and you study it and then you go and do it. You are being transformed into a rock yourself. See, we can decide whether to be transformed or whether to just stay whatever we are, a grain of sand or something. Not me, man. I want to be a rock. By the time Jesus comes back, I want to be the biggest rock there is. Not for me. I just want all I can have of Him. How do we make a rock? You're doing it right here, right now, tonight. In a few minutes, you'll do your discussion questions, and there's a part on your discussion questions about the rocks that are on your table. Now, there is a rule about the rocks. You cannot throw them. Especially, you cannot throw them at the teacher. I'll tell you what, before we start, let us pray real quickly. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that we have through the example of Peter. Lord, how that you can disciple such a mess and transform it into such a man of greatness and stability. Father, that gives me hope. Thankful. Lord, I'm a candidate. Keep transforming me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Correct me. Rebuke me. Show me. I'm willing. I want to become more like Jesus every day of my life. Father, I thank you for these people and that they have chosen to be here tonight because this is how you make a rock. Father, I thank you that you're changing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.